This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Esports is now an estimated $1 billion industry. Local high schools are fielding teams in state competition. A large tournament is coming to Mason this weekend, and one local man has more than 500,000 YouTube followers, and he'll be appearing at this event. So let's talk about what esports is and why it's so popular. Joining Cincinnati Edition are Brandemonium and Bunbury Music co-founder Bill Donabedian, who is also the co-founder of this tournament. He joins us via Skype. Welcome, Bill.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I want to ask you first, Bill, before I introduce everyone else, how do you pronounce this tournament?
PIVIP.
It is PIVIP. It's stylized with two capitalized P's, bookending the IVI, so I wanted to make sure of that, and I appreciate that clarification. We also have Wade Barnes. He's a nationally known YouTube gaming personality based in Cincinnati. He also joins us via Skype. Welcome, Wade.
Hello, how are you doing?
We're doing well. Thanks for being here. And we've got Dayton High School in Kentucky, which has a competitive esports team. We're joined by head coach Alex Loffman. Welcome, Alex.
Hey, how's it going?
And freshman player Joey Klosterman. Welcome, Joey.
Hello.
Give us a call, 513-419-7100, if you've got questions or comments about this esports segment. Bill, I want to start with you because Cincinnati is known for its Oktoberfest, its opening day parade. We love our taste of Cincinnati, but you've been part of some big events in recent years that are starting to rise to those occasions in terms of local significance. Bunbury, Brandemonium, you've got quite a list, and now we've got this one coming on. What got you interested in putting this event together?
Well, it really has to do with my two young sons who play video games. And, you know, I used to play them when I was younger. I don't play them as much today, a little too busy, but watching them engage and seeing how this industry is growing, it became quite apparent to me that this really was the next big thing. I mean, the video game industry is bigger than the music and movie industry combined, and it's still not quite mainstream. But I think we're going to hit that tipping point soon, and it's just very unique and exciting. It feels like a sporting event. It feels like a rock concert. And I really think in the long run, it's going to be something that really captivates people all over the country and all over the world.
Bill, how do you describe esports?
Well, it's a little different than sports in that the publishers, the people who make the software, actually create the leagues, and then teams are created. And based on the game, you know, you might have Overwatch, where you have actual teams being fielded and who train together, have a coach, and work to compete. And then you have games like Fortnite, where individuals will compete in a battle royale and their, you know, tournaments and prize pools for those things. So it's very accessible. I mean, if you are good at gaming, you know, you can find a lot of tournaments, and they don't necessarily have to be in your area, because let's face it, everything is on the web these days. So you can join tournaments and compete against other people all over the planet.
And Wade, to your legions of fans, you're probably more well known as Lord Minion 777, and you're going to have some other big YouTubers with you at this event. I'm curious though, how did you build up this audience that you have centered around gaming?
How much time do we have on this segment? Because it might take a while. I've got 7 years of life to go through.
I've got 20 seconds to give you.
Honestly, I started with my friend Mark. Mark Appliers, his YouTube handle. He invited me to join him for a show back in 2012 called Drunk Minecraft, where we drink and play video games. And there was no thought of a career. It was just us having fun and hanging out online. And his audience started to grow, and people enjoyed watching Bob and I as well. We started our own channels a few months. Well, I started mine a few months later. Bob started his a year or so after. And just over the years, people have flocked, whether it's because of my, you know, friends and streamers and YouTubers I've played with, or whether it's from getting in on a game early and people flocking to my channel to get access to videos on that particular game.
Being so embedded in the gaming community, I'm curious, Wade, what you think is responsible for the rise in the popularity of esports?
I think it was bound to happen. I mean, I loved playing when I was in college. I loved playing Madden and NCAA football before they canceled it a few years ago with my friends online that were all over the country. I had friends in Colorado and Texas, et cetera. And it was just a way for us to get together. And I was an athlete when I was younger, and we couldn't, you know, go shoot hoops or toss a football together, but we could play NCAA football together. So Madden tournaments started happening a few years back. gaming itself has become less of a nerd thing and more of an accepted, like, everyone plays it. So us nerds can come out and be proud now.
Show that nerd flag.
I proudly wield my athlete and my nerd flags.
Very cool.
Okay. Honestly, it's just people are naturally competitive. You look at games like Call of Duty that have been around a long time, and the PvP has really taken off. And so it was just a matter of time before people capitalized on the fact that there were great players and people that want to watch gaming that either, you know, aren't as good themselves or don't have access to the game, or they just enjoy having someone's commentary or watching someone that's really good at something.
All right, Bill and Wade, we'll get back to you in just a moment. I want to talk quickly to our friends from Dayton High School. Alex, you teach biology?
That is correct.
And somehow ended up the head coach of the esports team at Dayton High School. How did this come to be?
All right, so this game that we play this game called League of Legends. It's on the computer. And basically, I didn't even know that Kentucky was adopting esports.
It's recognized by the Kentucky High School Athletic Association.
Oh, absolutely. It's an actual sport, according to the Kentucky State Athletic Association now, which is awesome. And I had no idea they were doing it until one of my other teacher friends came over to me and he said, hey, do you know that they approved esports as, like, a sport? And I was like, what? You're kidding. Because, like, I've lived in Kentucky almost all my life. I wouldn't expect Kentucky to be one of the first states to adopt that. Love Kentucky. Just wouldn't expect it. And so I was like, really, you're kidding. So I went and I looked into it, and they were. And not only was it that, it was a game that I've been playing since I was in high school. And I just said, I'd love to do this if you guys want to field a team. And our athletic director was all for it. So here
yeah,
we
so,
are.
So there's not a lot of teams in Northern Kentucky. I only saw maybe three with St. Henry, Lloyd, and
yep,
Dayton.
I think that's it.
Yeah, okay. So what's competition like? Where do you have to go to do it? Or is this remote?
Yeah, it's remote. So we actually have our own room in our school where we have all of our gaming PCs that we had the STLP kids build us. And for competition, you actually play from your own location against another team playing from their own location at their school. And all of the games are like that, except for the state finals, are actually in person.
And you had a pretty good season. And I, as I understand it, Alex, you guys got robbed in the state tournament because you had an equipment failure.
It was tough, yeah. So we ended up going 12-6 during the normal season. And then on the day of one of our playoff games, we lost power at the school, and the internet couldn't go back on. So we just kind of had to make it work, and we ended up actually playing from my – we had three teachers accompanying the kids. We ended up actually playing from my kitchen in my apartment because we had nowhere else to go that had power, and everyone was super flustered, so obviously we weren't competing at our best during that game. So I'm not saying the game would have went any differently and we would have won, but I think it would have been a much different scenario if that hadn't happened.
Absolutely. If you guys would have won that, it sounds like it could have been like the inspiration for whatever the esports version of the movie Hoosiers might be. If they ever traumatized this, it could have been good. Joey, I'm curious, what's the experience like competing against other schools?
I mean, it's like really, I really like it. I think it's really cool that we can compete against other schools, even no matter where they are, you know, like we're in Northern Kentucky, like we've played teams down in Lexington. Mm-hmm. Like, I just think that's really cool.
And I know that traditionally in athletics, Dayton's big rival is Bellevue. Bellevue doesn't have an esports team. So who do you guys like to beat up on? Anybody emerging, any rivalries emerging in this national sport?
I don't know if I'd call it a rivalry, but probably St. Henry, because they're the other one that's pretty close to us. Yeah. And we've had some scrimmages against them and stuff, so probably St. Henry.
Awesome. Okay, so Wade, back to you. I imagine that a lot of the people who follow you on YouTube are youthful, and there are people who love video games of all ages, of course. And I'm wondering, what can you give us in terms of insight on the big video game trends that consumers should be on the lookout for?
That's a great question. I wish I knew. it's evolved so much. I mean, when I first started, it was like the AAA titles, you know, the ones that get all of the television commercials and you go to GameStop or whatever, pick it up. But now indie games are taking off so much and they don't get a lot of press ahead of time. But unless you're checking up on like IndieDB, keeping track of Steam and Epic Game Launcher, Twitters of different game companies, it's like we never really know what we're going to get until either it's out or a couple months ahead of time. There are some games, you know, that we've been excited for. Days Gone just came out. That's one I was looking forward to for a year or so. Star Wars just announced a new game that I'm excited for. But as far as trends that are going to take off, I mean, it's always a dartboard. We play as many games, a lot of people that are a variety of gamers like me, play as many games as we can, and we hope, you know, some of them stick and are great for our audience and great for us. But yeah, it's a crapshoot. We really don't know.
Bill, the Business Courier reported that this Pivot event on Saturday is sort of like the first Bunbury. It's a preview before the big one comes the next year. What can you tell us about that?
Well, our idea is to, you know, to take over the whole park. We're concentrating the event footprint in a smaller area of the park and trying everything out to see what people like, what they don't like. You know, it's been a great opportunity to work with the people at Kings Island who have been fantastic, and just getting used to one another and what the, you know, requirements are going to be. But we'd like to see it much bigger and not just one day. We held a lot of qualifier tournaments ahead of time so we could just keep this to a one-day event, and we're just seeing the finals in the Fest House. But next year, I would hope we'd have video games Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday would be the big final. And, you know, we would be in the Timberwolf Arena where 9,000 people could watch, and we would have the full-blown production like you see at some of these other big video game events. So that's really what we want to do. We want to give people a preview. We want to get used to working at Kings Island. And I think the neatest thing is, you know, Kings Island, the parent company, Cedar Fair, they own parks all over the country. So Pivot could expand quickly into other parks throughout the summer and really, I think, change the landscape of esports.
Alex, I'm curious about what an event like Pivot could do for, like, your recruitment efforts in the high school. I mean, do these types of activities expose kids who may not otherwise know about them and then explore them?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think they do. I think just, like, watching esports in general might expose kids to it. I have actually a few times said, oh, hey, kids, like, come after school and, like, watch us a professional esports game, see what it's about, kind of get them hyped for it. When I was trying to draw players in to play the game in general, I would actually, I think I took one day, like 10 minutes at the beginning of one of my classes when esports was starting up, just to get people interested, say, hey, like, watch this game. This looks like anything you're interested in. Please come check it out. And I think it is helping draw a lot of people in.
And Joey, you've got your Dayton jersey on, and this is the jersey that you guys compete in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. So what's the next season going to look like? You're just a freshman, so you've got some years to avenge this heartbreaking loss in the state tournament. What's next year going to look like?
I mean, I just get a lot of time to practice, you know, get better, you know. Definitely try the win.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. You've got winning on the mind for next season. Cool. And Wade, before I let you go, I mean, lots of people talk about their futures, and lots of kids talk about the possibility of becoming a YouTuber or working in video games, and you get to do both of those things. So what's your quick elevator pitch on what someone can do if they aspire to make a profession out of creating content like you do?
Be smarter than I was and get involved in as many different aspects as you can. I'm trying to help build Pivot up with Bill. I'm streaming on Twitch, making videos on YouTube. And all the while you're trying to learn the industry and get your feelers out all over the place, just make sure you're attentive to your audience and you give them positive feedback and you listen to them, communicate with them, and show them that you appreciate them being there. And those are the most important things.
Pivot tournament is this weekend, Saturday, May 18th at Kings Island. We'll have details on the Cincinnati Edition section at WVXU.org. Thanks to Bill Donavidian and Wade Barnes for joining us via Skype. Appreciate both of you very much for talking to us.
And thanks for having us.
Dayton Esports head coach Alex Loffman and freshman competitor Joey Klosterman, appreciate you being here as well.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for the conversation. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. You can find archives of our show online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.